Father, we bless you today. We exalt your name. We pray for increase in your knowledge. Increase in the knowledge of the truth. Any lukewarmness in our hearts, we cast out by the word of faith. We command a quickening in the hearts of the people. There must be a sense of urgency in every man who seeks to be partakers in this great thing that the Lord is talking about. You see, what we are listening to is the salvation of the ages. This is the only means by which a man can be saved. There is no other way man can be saved except by this gospel, this thing that we are hearing today from heaven. So let there be a sense of urgency in our hearts. Let us not be lukewarm. Let us not be carried away with the activities in this world. Because the activities in this world are coming to what? To naught. They are coming to what? Nothingness. Everything that a man sets his hand to do, to achieve, to work out, outside the light, outside this thing that we are listening to today from heaven, comes to what? To nothing. Nothing. Everything dissolves, and in due season it becomes evident that it has been a sowing to the wind. For this reason, there must be a sense of urgency in our hearts. Amen. There must be a zeal burning in our hearts to follow on to know the Lord. Let the problems of this life not choke this thing that you hear. You know, there are many problems. See, some of us, you know, we feel the financial problems we have is the end of the world. You see, when you interview people, you discover that everybody feels that his own problem is greater than the other one. Have you noticed? Everybody wants to think his own problem is more than the other one's problem. But if you can just for one moment, in silence, divine silence, put aside our problems and focus on this thing we are hearing from heaven today, then the problems can disappear. Are you listening? This is the secret to it. First of all, lay aside your problems. Is it a health problem? See, is it a family problem? Is it a financial problem? Is it an emotional problem? Lay these things aside first. Lay them aside. We're not trying to say that you abandon them. Lay them aside and let the focus be on achieving or realizing God's kingdom, then the other things will follow. Jesus Christ says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God, then the other things will follow. Don't let sorrows, tears, see your problems in your family, problems in your finances, problems in whatever sphere, choke what you are hearing. There will always be problems. Remember that. Jesus Christ says what? In this world you have what? Tribulation. There will always be tribulation in this world. Always be tribulation. See, but we can escape tribulation only as we let the guidance of the Spirit lead us on into Christ. Praise God. Now, when Jesus Christ was on the mountain of transfiguration, and he transfigured before his disciples, there was a voice from heaven that said, what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Are you listening? Hear him. It's not just enough to behold and just stand there and behold that beautiful sight, but hear him so that you become what? A doer. You hear him and do these words, then you shall be blessed. Hear him and you shall appear in that same glory that the Lord was demonstrating to the world. See, in that state, you transcend all the pain and all the problems that you have in your human life. Praise God. You see, we meet a lot of people in the ministry, and I discovered that the first thing everybody asks for is some kind of prayer for finances, prayer for my sister, my father, my mother, prayer for my child who is sick, prayer for my child who has gone astray, prayer I need a marital partner, I've not been able to get a husband. See, and this problem about husband, I've not been able to get a husband, a partner, a marriage partner, it's a real problem in the hearts of many women. I've met lots of women and they confide in me. They always talk of this problem of, you know, of getting married. And they, you see, this thing weighs on them so heavily that they are miserable. And they feel that they are no good. But you know what you should do? Hear him. Listen, sit back in silence and hear him. Put aside your problems and hear him. Your worrying cannot solve your problem. As a man, all you can do is to worry, and your worries will only, you know, drown you into deeper sorrows. Praise God. So seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added to him. Jesus Christ was an example. Now, you know, Jesus Christ shared in our humanity. He tasted of what it means to be a man. He knows what it means to be tempted. He knows what it means to be under pressure in life, how to pay the bills. You know that he knows about all that? See, he knows what it means to be lonely, those of us who seek partners. See, he knows what it means to be rejected, what it means to be scorned at. He knows this feeling. He understands it. The fear of tomorrow, he tasted of it. He tasted of all these things that we have experienced as human beings. What will happen? Anxiety, fear, he tasted of it. If Jesus Christ didn't taste of it, he would not have, you know, been a bit jittery when he was going to the cross. You know, before going to the cross, you know, Jesus Christ had to pray fervently. He had to be strengthened from heaven. God had to dispatch an angel to him to strengthen him. If not, you know, he was about to turn back. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Meaning he tasted of the weakness of the flesh. He tasted of the deadness of the flesh. He knows what it means, the fear that we experience as men, the precious worries, what we eat, what we wear. So what will happen to me in my old age? I have not built a house in my country. It seems as if I'm not progressing. I'm a failure. All these things he knows what it means. You see, but Jesus Christ was able to hear the voice of the Father, and he endeared himself to the Father. He endeared himself to truth. He too had to seek the kingdom of God. He too had to be obedient to the cross. He too had to, you know, stay watchful in fervent prayer. Hebrews says that he was heard praying, crying and praying on several occasions to God, to the one who was able to deliver him from the flesh, from the deadness of the flesh. So you see, Jesus Christ too, he also experienced these things. That's why he had to be watchful, he had to be prayerful. Before the disciples would wake up in the morning, he had gone out to the wilderness to pray for hours. He was always mindful of that eternal presence. He was always mindful of the promises of those who stand in the truth. Praise God. And at the end of the day, he inherited the all power. Let us say it, all power. All power. The all power is the word omnipotent power. Praise God. In fact, after his resurrection, he woke up to the disciples and he said, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and where on earth. Go ye therefore and preach the, you know, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you unto the end of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus Christ himself had come to the end. How many of us realize that the end of this world is the beginning of life? The end of this world is the beginning of what? All power. See, he has come to make us overcomers of this world, meaning that he has come to destroy our sense of belonging to this imaginary world. Jesus Christ too had to overcome. I go to the Father. He had to ascend. He had to leave this world. See, this world must pass away to inherit the new heavens and the new earth. This world must pass away to inherit God's kingdom. God's kingdom is the new heavens and the new earth. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That is the new heavens and the new earth, where we can find true righteousness and unhindered access to God. Unhindered access to God talks about the all power. Praise God. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ overcame, and along with the overcoming comes what? The all power. All power. The omnipotent power. Everything in heaven and all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now, here is Jesus who some months back was saying that on my own I can do nothing. The Father is always with me. But now he had ascended into the place where he stood as what? As Father. Where he had consciously realized his oneness with God. And in that consciousness comes the ability to enter into your rest. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Hallelujah. When you realize this all power, you are in your rest. See, when you realize this all power, your bank account statements don't make you shake anymore. When you come to this consciousness, you don't look at how much is in your account anymore. See, You don't worry for what happens tomorrow. You simply reign. Praise God. It is that all power that Jesus Christ tried to demonstrate. See, when the tax collectors came to harass him, that is the all power. See it? In that consciousness, at that point in time, that all power descended, that he realized that all power and told the tax collectors to go and, you know, get a fish, you know, from the sea, and the first fish that comes out, open the mouth and take out the money. That is the all power working in Christ. He didn't need a bank account in that consciousness. See it? We have to seek the kingdom of God, and all the other things we want will be added. Along with the all power comes your peace. Along with the all power comes your rest. No more worries. See, does God worry?
No.
Does he cry?
No.
Does he think of tomorrow? Does he plan for tomorrow? No. All these things are the ways of man who has lost that all power. Remember that the descent of man, or the fall of man, along with it comes the loss of all power. Because in reality, we all, you know, are co-inheritors. We all are partakers of that power of God. Now we're talking here of the power that created heaven and earth. The omnipotent power of God is the power that we, every man, loses as he enters into this world. So Jesus Christ has come to restore that all power. Praise God. He has come to restore that omnipotent power. Hallelujah. That universal power, that unhindered power, that force, that dunamis of God. Everything is restored only as we hear the voice of the Spirit and allow the voice of the Spirit lead us out of the darkness of this age. See, herein comes our patience, our confession, not minding the contradictions around us. Patience. Praise God. Now, patience is not something that is forever. Patience, you keep on going, and as you do these things, you, this door, there's a door in the Spirit that you realize. It's already there. You see, but the eyes are blind, and, you know, have been darkened, and we don't see that door. See, there's a tunnel, an opening in the Spirit back into that dimension of all power where anything that you ask for is possible. Didn't Jesus Christ say, with God all things are what possible? With God all things are what possible? With God all things are possible. Now, in the fall, we have been without God, isn't it? We've been annihilated from the life of God. We've been separated from the life of God. See it? But with God, all things are possible. Now, this is where Christ has come to restore us back. He has come to get us back into that dimension where we have our being. We consciously walk in God. Because we all originated from that dimension, from that realm. This is what we should be seeking for day and night. To get that all power. Medical science wouldn't help you. See it? Psychological teachings will help you. The procedures and the methods of men will not help you. In the long run, they will not help you. They will fail you. All you need is that all power. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Entering into the kingdom of God, you access the all power. In the kingdom of God, there is one throne. See it? One man, one God. There's only one. Absolute one in God's kingdom. One. One throne, one God, one man. Hallelujah. And this is the gospel that we preach. The Bible says that he has come to give us understanding that we are all part of that one man, who is actually the eternal life, the true God. Oh, hallelujah. What a grand, great mystery. See, we are all part of that body, that Godhead. He has come to give us this understanding. Now this understanding is something that was taken away from us. It was taken away from us in the fall. It was taken for us away from us as we descended into this realm called the world. We lost all knowledge that we are in God, that God is our identity. This is what Christ has come to restore. Praise God. Hear Him. If you hear Him, you begin your ascent. See it? From the dead. Hear Him. Only three people could hear that voice from heaven. Three disciples. Where were all the other disciples? Where were all the other men that were at the foot of the mountain? Where were they? See, they are down there worrying about their lives, worrying about their problems. Somebody is sick in the family. Worrying about your future, about how you make ends meet. Worrying about how you're going to live a good life after your pension. All these things, worries, these are the worries that you have underneath at the foot of the mountain. And those worries cannot give you life. See, Jesus Christ said that your worrying cannot add to your one statue, to your hair or anything. Your worries, as a man, all you can do is what worry. You can't do anything. Praise God. But there is a place of all power where you can enter into perfect bliss and rest. And that is God's kingdom. This is the thing that we preach. This is the gospel. This is the good news from heaven. This is the grace of God unto our generation and unto generations past and generations to come. This is the only means by which a man can be saved. That which Paul says that I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Praise God. We must take these words with urgency, seriously. Stir up ourselves. Praise God. We ought to get to that dimension like Jesus, where we say that all power in heaven and earth has been what? Given unto me. This is the consciousness of those who have overcome. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So we just have to keep on moving. There has to be a continuous moving on. Hallelujah. Even if you have overcome to a certain level, you must continue moving on. Until every aspect of your attachment to this outer realm dissolves. Now, some people say that it is impossible to be perfect. Well, that is their own version. I have tasted of this. I see it, and God has shown me, and I say there is a dimension of perfect, of what? Of perfection. It is possible to attain to that realm while you are here upon the earth. It is possible. Praise God. It is possible to exhibit that all power right here on earth. It's possible. Praise God. He did not come to just tell us this thing just like that. He came to reveal this to us so that we can enter into it now. Now, brethren, now. Now are we the sons of God. Now. See it. Now are we the sons of God. We are already sons of God. Now. But as sons of God, we must press in continuously so that no stone is unturned, no stone is unturned in our quest to realize this thing totally. Praise God. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Shall prosper. This is the first psalm. This, can you imagine? This is the beautiful way the psalm starts. The first chapter in Psalm says, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not sit in the way of sinner. He doesn't go in the way of sinner, nor sit with his comfort. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. See, he shall never wither. You see, his leaf shall never wither. It shall be evergreen. Evergreen. And whatever he does, what prospereth. He prospereth in everything he does. That is the state of those who attend to the place. You know those trees? This man is like those trees planted by the river of life. In the New Jerusalem chapter 22, in Revelation chapter 22, the New Jerusalem, John the Apostle saw the trees of life on either side of the river. And these trees of life give what? Their leaves. See, and fruits. You know, yield fruits and leaves every time. These leaves are for the healing of the nations. Those trees are people who have attained to that place of all power. See, those trees are the ones who have, these are people who have come to the place of the of Eden, of all power. See, these are the righteous men of God. People who stand in the spirit. Now, when we say the ungodly and the sinner and all that, it's simply talking about the flesh. The realm of the flesh. Now, the ungodly is not somebody who goes out there drinking cigarette, or who has many girlfriends here and there, who takes cocaine. That's not the definition of a sinner here. The sinner rather is that which, or the transgressor is that which walks in the ignorance of the flesh. So you can see that all men have what? Falling short of the glory of God. All men are what? Are sinners. In their humanity, they are transgressors. All men. Praise God. And that's why they suffer things that they suffer. That's why you don't prosper. See, the flesh and blood represents a defiled conscience. Flesh and blood represents annihilation from God. As long as a man walks in flesh and blood, according to the dictates of the natural wisdom of this age, there is no way he can be found guiltless before God. See, it's only in meditating but in the truth, only in receiving the words of the truth, only in embracing the evangel today, and diligently meditating in these things day and night, continuing in these things, purifying yourself in these things, that you can come to a realm where everything that you do will what? Prosper. Isn't that a blessing? Now, when you lay your hands on anything and it prospers, isn't that peace? That is faith. That is what they call unlimited faith. So that is the power that works in the saints. That is the power that works in the overcomer. That is the power that works in those who walk in the dimension of Eden. Praise God, we become trees of life, fruitful in everything. Both body, soul, spirit, whether it be health, whether it be in our finances, everything. In this dimension, there is nothing like poverty. In this dimension, there is nothing like fear. There is no sense of lack. There is nothing like worries. Because everything that you do, what? Prospers. It's the dimension of all power. Now, this is the thing that we are to be seeking. Day and night. See, day and night, as you wake up in the morning, your mind has to be focused on this kingdom. See, as you are out there in the bus, going out to work on the train, your mind must be focused on this promise. Your mind must be focused on this kingdom. See, as you go about your daily affairs, your mind must be simply always focused on this precious promise of God, on God's kingdom. So that you can realize this great benefit. Praise God. You see, Jesus Christ, he woke up to people, say, "O ye of little faith." Why, "O ye of little faith"? See, he could see how they had sunken so low and deep into the torment of hell. He could see that they had lost that faith, that boldness towards the Father. Remember that it's our faith that governs our life. Eh? See, if your heart condemns you, if you feel, how do I put it, your conscience condemns you, there's no way you can have that unlimited access to God. Remember this thing. It all functions by your conscience. God does not withhold anything from anybody. God does not punish anybody. But it's your conscience that separates you from God. See it? God does not see you as a sinner. He's not aware of all those things. All that is in your own realm, in your own mind. Praise God. So Jesus Christ has come to rend the veil, destroy that veil. That veil is destroyed in our lives so that we can realize consciously that we have unhindered access to God. Unhindered access to God. See, this is all we need. With God, all things are what possible. That is the power that we need to prosper and to have peace in everything. And to have stillness. Nothing changes when you come to that dimension. Because your yes is yes and your nay is nay. Amen.
Amen.
All power. Praise God. All power. This is the power of the Alpha and the Omega that God wants to restore today to the church. Praise God. Very important. Paul says that the end of the faith, this is our faith today, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That is the word, the end of the faith. The end of all these things that we are talking about, the end of the matter is to bring us back to the place of a pure heart, a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Now, you cannot have the unfeigned faith without a pure conscience, without a pure heart. It's impossible. See it? You cannot have unlimited faith, the all power, without a pure heart, without a pure conscience. Do you know that? Praise God. You can't have that. Jesus Christ says that what? If you have faith, you can say to that mountain, be moved, and it shall be moved. Now faith, that unlimited faith, that all power, you know, functions in us through love, a pure heart, and an unfeigned conscience. Praise God. That's why the word comes to purify us. Amen. That's why the word comes to purify us. You know it? You know, a lot of us have been entangled, we've become so entangled in many things on the earth. You see it? And along with this entanglement comes the lusts, comes the, you know, obscurity of our vision. Along with the entanglements in this world, in this present world, comes the defiled conscience. See it? But if we can just lay aside this world, lay aside our cares upon the earth, lay aside all those treasures we have upon the earth, and let the eyes be single towards only God's kingdom, which in reality is the only thing that there is. Do you know that? Do you know all these things that we struggle for? All these things that we think that we have or think that we are or all these things, do you know they don't exist? These things that we highly exalt as men in our hearts, our institutions, these our beliefs are actually illusions. They don't exist. They are temporal. They are for the occasion. They are momentary. Paul says that what the things that are seen are what? Are temporal. Are you listening? The things that you see are what? Are temporal. But the things that you do not see are what? Are eternal. We are called to inherit the eternal. We are called to lay a hold on the eternal. For we inherit a kingdom that is incorruptible. We inherit a kingdom that never passes away. An invisible kingdom. That is our world. Now, if you walk in that dimension by faith, that is the only way you can escape the filth of this world. The defiled conscience, the jealousies, the contention among, you cannot enter into God's kingdom with those, with that nature. You cannot. Anybody who has this hope purifies himself. Do Jesus Christ said, let your treasure be not, don't let your treasure be where? On the earth, where things rust and grow old and spoil and all that and wear away. Don't let your treasures be on the earth, but let your treasures be where? In heaven. That's in the spirit, in the invisible, in the real world. Walk in that dimension by faith. By faith. As you do these things, you let go of those weights, those bodies. Hallelujah. Let go. Let go of all. Jesus, you must lose your life in order to gain me. You must lose your life in order to gain the all power. You must let go of your life in this world in order to gain what? The all power. Jesus Christ had to leave everything. He left his family. He left his business, his father's business. He left everything. And today, he reigns in absolute power. These things that we so treasure upon the earth are the things that define us. They have become idols in our hearts. The glories of this age have become a stumbling block in our hearts. That's why we must, by the Spirit and by the power of the Word, let go and recognize that life in the Spirit. This is the only way to achieve purity. Purity. See, a pure heart. You know the psalmist says, create in me a pure heart. He created me a pure heart. God injects us his wisdom, understanding. The understanding causes us to see the real world. The understanding causes us not to be carried away with the vanities of this age, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We purify ourselves, we keep ourselves from this world. And we walk by faith in that dimension, in that world that is unknown to men of this age. Of course, when you walk in that realm, they think you are a fool, isn't it? Is it? It's like you are a fool. See, but Paul says, anybody that will seek to be wise must become a fool. You must become a fool for what? The kingdom of heaven's sake. Praise God. It's better you enter in as a fool before men than to be, you know, exalted by men and only to wind up in hell and destruction. Hallelujah. Isaiah, the prophets of Isaiah concerning the age to come, concerning the redeemed of the Lord. He said that they shall tread a path for fools. Only fools find that path. It's not a path for the wise. It's not a path for the pride, for the proud people. It's not a path for men of this age, but for the fools. Fools, those who have held on to the word of truth. They are the ones that will find this path that leads to life. Praise God. So the all power that we seek comes by, first of all, recognizing our spiritual life, our life as Christ. Recognizing our life in God's kingdom, our origin in God's kingdom. And right now, by faith, beginning to walk in relation to that kingdom. It calls for sacrifice and patience. Praise God. Our path is purified. We are purified. We are, you know, liberated from these cares of this world. We are liberated from the lusts of this age by the revelation of that which is beyond the veil of human reasoning. Praise God. It's only as we go beyond that we can truly be partakers of that all power, which, like I have said, along with it comes what? Our peace. Along with it comes our joy. When you have the all power, do you worry? Does God worry? All your worries upon the earth as men does not move the dimension of God one bit. That dimension is still and unmovable. See it? Death here and there, tragedies here, and all these things don't move the realm of God. It is stable and it remains unmovable in the heavens. Praise God. And that power is ours. You know that he says that to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Paul says that we have been raised up in Christ to sit where? In heavenly places in Christ. To sit in heavenly places. Now, when you sit, you are ruling. When you sit, you are reigning. It's just the power of the mind, the power of your tongue, that you make things happen. You are seated in absolute power and authority, and that state you rest. You are never worried. You see everything from the end. You see the end from the beginning. And you walk in absolute power. This is what Christ has come to restore to every one of us. For that absolute power is ours. Hallelujah. We are co-heirs with Christ. Praise God. This is what he has. This is the thing that will give you your peace. This is the thing that will give you your joy. See, it's not our manipulations. It's not our calculations. It's not the thing that we do by according to our wisdom as men that can give us the prosperity. See, your good job, your salary and all that cannot give you peace. It cannot give you the satisfaction you seek. You can have all the millions in an account. Not saying it's bad, but let the treasure rather be in heaven. Because a time comes when you discover that thing cannot save you. That thing cannot give you life. See it. You can't take that thing along with you anywhere. Praise God. You can't. Can you take it out of here? You can't. See, the illusion of us, of men in this age, is that their life is forever. That's the illusion they have in their hearts. That they live forever. So they corrupt themselves. But shall not be so with the sons of God. Amen. See it. Amen. Now, I'm going to read something from John. Some of these things that cause us to understand this all power, omnipotent power, the power of the Alpha and Omega, the power of God, the Almighty God, which is actually our power. Amen. We suffer what we suffer simply because we fell. We fell from the realization that this all power is ours. So we lost our inheritance in God's kingdom through Adam. As we were, indoctrinated into this age. Amen. So now the grace of God has come to lift us up and to restore that all power. Praise God. In that all power, you don't need to run up and down for people to lay hands on you. You don't need to run up and down for people to pray for you all the time. You don't need to run up and down for, seeking for help. But you come to the place of all sufficiency and all power. See it. Along with this is your peace, isn't it? Praise God. John chapter 16. Verse 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Even so, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive. That your joy may be what? May be full. These things are spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Praise God. Amen. Let's stop here. Are you listening here? It says, in that day, you shall ask for what? Anything, and it shall be done for you. Because in that day, you actually share in that all power. In that day, what is that day? It's the day of the Lord. See, it's the day when, there is an awakening. People think, there is an awakening where you come to the place where you consciously realize these things that are being said. Do you know that? After patience, there is an obtaining of the promise. after you have patiently waited on the Lord, there's a period to what? To obtain the promise. When the farmer sows, doesn't he reap at the end?
Yes.
See, at times, when the farmer sows, he sows as if he sows into nothingness. Now, if somebody is somebody who is not skilled in farming, who does not know the secrets of farming, when you see the farmer sowing, it's like he's just being foolish. See it? And days pass, and nothing is coming out. And it's as if the farmer is foolish, isn't it?
Yes.
But after a while, you see it, his sadness comes to joy. After a while, he begins to realize the fruit of his labor. Our labor as saints is to realize him, that I may know him. Isn't that what Paul says? That I may know him and the power of the resurrection. Now, the power of the resurrection is what causes you to know him. And how do you know him? It's by knowing yourself. Sweet. When he said that I may know him, is that I may know Christ. That I may know him, the Son of God in me. That is the one that has been, you know, hidden underneath you, sleeping all the while. That I may know him and the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection is the power of God that is lifting us up today to realize that man that is within us, which is Christ. Praise God. That's why it says, in that day you ask my Father anything you will and it shall be done for you, because you are the Son. You are the Son of God. You are Christ, the Son of God. In that day you will know. You will ask the Father anything that you will, for it shall be done for you. That is the power of the Alpha and the Omega that is working in the saints. And that is the power we should seek. That is the dimension we should seek. Praise God. This is what we should seek, that Christ be birthed in us. Christ be manifest in us. That I might know him, that I might realize the inner man, which is Christ, the Son of God in me. That is what we need. That is all. See, when we realize this great mystery in truth, then the all power in heaven and earth flows in us. Then we prosper in all our ways. Then we know that all things work together for our good. You know, Paul wrote that thing in Romans chapter, I can't remember. He said that all things work out for the good of those that love what? Him. That love God. All things work for their good. Now, you consciously become aware of these things. And in that, when you realize this thing consciously, you enter into your peace. No more worries. No more fear of death. Do you know fear of death itself is a realm of death? Fear of death itself is all this is originate from that original death, spiritual death. When you come to that consciousness, there's nothing like death. See, death does not exist when you come to that dimension. You only walk continuously in pleasures eternally. Nothing can take your peace away from you. You reign in absolute power. Hallelujah. This is the promise for God, from God for us, brethren. Hallelujah. This is available for everybody. It's not available to some group of people here, or some people here, or those who do this. Everybody has this potential in him. Every man. Every man has what? This potential in him. It's up to every man now to hear this voice from heaven, to hear this testimony from heaven, and to strictly adhere himself to it. Praise God. I'm going to round up. Paul gives us some hints on how we can, you know, attain to this boldness. See, this all power, this boldness before God. You know, many of these letters of Paul, we interpret them only in the natural, literal sense. But in reality, some of these letters of Paul are more spiritual than you think. See, some of us who come to the level where we are built up to that same level spiritual of understanding spiritually, see, there's some kind of communication I can communicate with you that the outer man cannot understand. See, we speak in a language, in a tongue that is different from the tongue of this age. Now, the tongue of this world, men speak with a tongue that is carnal. When men speak, they speak in relation to the natural world, this world that we live in. But when you walk in the spirit, when you walk in the ages to come, you speak with a spiritual tongue, a celestial tongue. See, that's why Jesus Christ told Lazarus, see, that you people speak in a different tongue. That you hear earthly things and you don't understand. How will it be when you hear heavenly things? So we speak in a celestial tongue, in a spiritual tongue, and at times you have to understand some of the letters of Paul were spiritual. Many people make mistakes of things like rapture and all these things because they fail to realize that Paul was speaking in the spiritual tongue. Being caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, which many people call the rapture, and many people expect that someday something will happen in the sky and people are caught up to meet the Lord in the heaven, in the sky, in the cloud, is because they have interpreted these things carnally, just like Lazarus. Lazarus interpreted the words of Jesus carnally. He asked Jesus, how is it possible that I can enter back into my mother's womb to be born again? He could not understand the spiritual communication of Jesus. In likewise manner, people are not understanding the spiritual communication of Paul when he speaks about the clouds in heaven, in Thessalonians, about being caught up to meet the clouds in heaven. They were not understanding that it's a spiritual tongue. He uses all those terms, allegorical terms, metaphorical terms to describe the spiritual things of God. So I'm going to read this 1 Timothy. We'll round up with 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'll start off from verse 8. How we can attain to this boldness. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let this also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so, must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. What he's saying, that those that use the office of a deacon properly obtain for themselves great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, great boldness in the faith also relates to that all power in the faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul gives us a hint on how we can attain to this place. Basically, of course, on the natural level, if you are married, obviously it's better to remain married to one wife. That's what we're talking on the natural level. See, and all that stuff. But let us understand the spiritual significance of what Paul is saying. He says that a deacon must be the husband of one wife. Praise God. And he must have his children, you know, he must rule his children well. And his house must be well, be under subjection. Now, when you talk of your house, where is your house? This is your house here. This is your body, isn't it? This is your house. See, your children in this house are your members, your body, your, the members of your body, your hand, your, you know. And what he's saying is that the deacon must be able to rule his house properly, meaning that you must put in subjection under you your flesh, your house. See, this house must be ruled properly, and you must be a husband of one wife, which is God's kingdom. We must be married to one what? Wife, which is God's kingdom. We must be married to that kingdom, all of us. See, we must all be married eternally to that kingdom. So this talks about single-mindedness. Praise God. We should not be given to too much wine. What does wine talk about? Wine in this sense, in the spiritual sense, well, of course, even a child knows that to be a drunkard is foolishness. Even a child knows that, you know, to take excessive alcohol is foolishness. It's madness. But wine in the spiritual sense talks about that wisdom that flows from the spirit of man. Carnality. Carnality is the spirit of man, the spirit of this world. And see, when you see men doing the things that they do, you see, don't you observe that men are like drunk men, are like people who are drunk? When you are drunk, that means that you lose all consciousness of your world, of everything that's around you. You do things that you don't know you are doing. You are tossed to and fro by, you know, every wind of doctrine. When you are drunk, you lose all consciousness of the truth. And you make a mockery of yourself. Praise God. So what Paul is saying, that we should remain sober, being filled with the Spirit of God, not with the spirit of this world. See, the spirit of this world is what makes us drunk. It what makes us fight each other, trample against you. It's what makes us proud. It's what makes us, you know, boast. See, it what makes us do merely unseemly things. It's drunkenness. Those that drink are of the night. That's what Paul says. Those that drink are what? Are of the night. But we, it shall not be so with we who are called to be sons of God. We should be what? Filled with the spirit of truth. And the spirit of truth, the spirit of God, is that spirit that guides us in that still place, in that invisible realm of God, in the spirit realm of God. See, it makes us sober, ever mindful of the truth. See, when you are filled with the spirit of God, see, you learn to respect people, you learn to be patient with people. See, you learn to love people. You learn to honor people. You see God in the creation. You are always conscious of the presence of God, isn't it? You are always conscious of the fact that this world is not, you know, an eternal heaven. But with the spirit of the world, it's not so. Your mind is fixed on the earth. So you are tossed to and fro with all the beliefs of men. And herein comes your pride, your arguments, your bitterness, your jealousies, and all these things that we see in the world today is because people are what? Are drunk. Drunk with the lies. The lies of this age. Praise God. So this is the way we can increase in boldness. Prayer is all about exercising ourselves in the spirit. See it. Singleness of heart, let us be all married to God's kingdom. God's kingdom is an invisible kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. See it. Let us individually and corporately be married to that kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't go to scriptures now because of time, but Isaiah talks about the sons of the kingdom mind the kingdom. The kingdom is like a woman, and we marry the kingdom. That's the only wife we have. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we keep under control, under subjection, the members of our house, our mind, our thoughts, our emotions, everything in us have to be what? Kept under subjection of what? Of the spirit. Christ. In so doing, patiently, we now retain, we obtain for ourselves that great boldness of in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what all power, isn't it? So along with your boldness in the faith comes your peace. Along with your boldness in the faith comes the ability to prosper in everything that you do. Nothing can take away your joy or your peace anymore, because you are consciously walking in the power of the Alpha and the Omega. Praise God. Isn't it a great thing? John says that this is the thing that we know. Hallelujah. This is the boldness that we have, that when we keep his word, when we keep his word of truth, when we keep the incorruptible word, anything that we ask him shall be what? Done for us. See it. Let us not chase after wings as men. What we should seek is the kingdom which is in power. And Paul says that the kingdom of God is in power. Power, not in meat and in drink. It is what? In power. See, so let us seek that kingdom of God day and night. Let the focus be there. Seek it, is within you. The power is within you. Everything is within you. It's left for the Son of God within you to stand up. Hallelujah. Arise and shine. Arise. Arise. You see, we'll be sleeping. Arise. Arise, and you will discover that all power in heaven and earth has been what? Given to you. You will discover, you realize this thing consciously. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you for your patience, your love, your grace towards the sons of men. We thank you for this wonderful thing you are doing for us in our lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for this message of truth. Incline our hearts to wisdom so that we can be partakers of this great promise. So that we can be partakers of this great thing that you have spoken about. Incline our hearts so that we can realize the power of the Alpha and Omega. Incline our hearts so that we can realize the great potentials within us. Hallelujah. Oh, Lima Shatam Baba Shuka. Let there be strengthening in the inner man. Strengthening in the inner man. In the midst of a dark and perverse generation. Enable us to stand as light. Hallelujah. Let us stand as light. Unmovable. Stand in the truth. And daring enter the rest of God. Blessed be your name, O God. Those who listen to this message, wherever they are, we pray for fruitfulness in their hearts. Fruitfulness in their hearts. Let them all be like those trees planted by that stream of living water that flows from the heart of God in the New Jerusalem. A tree that always prospers, that never knows corruption nor death. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, because it is done.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
As you complete the prayer, I saw the normal corridor with painted in red. The red light looked like this red carpet. This thing. A big, long corridor. Yeah.
Yes.
Painted in red.
Amen. That's is a path to royalty. Pathway to royalty. Hallelujah. That God has consecrated for us. You know, I was with a sister some time back. She's a Muslim. A Muslim sister. Or rather, she was a Muslim. I don't know how to put it. I was sure she was brought up in a Muslim, you know, family. And I shared some of these words with her. And immediately the Lord opened her eyes. And you know what she was seeing? She was seeing, you know, the crown, a crown, you know, this Greek, Grecian style of crown. You know, the Greeks used to have this kind of crown in the form of, you know, leaves and all that. She was seeing crowns all over the place. all the visions he had was in line with royalty, and you can see that God is calling us to royalty, to all power, for we are kings from the foundation of the world. God bless you. Amen.